Well, today is my last opportunity to preach before Christmas, and so this will be my Christmas sermon, so to speak. Maybe it seems a little early to you, but hopefully it can help set the stage for each of us as we anticipate Christmas. I want to focus on one particular verse this morning of the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. These are the words of the angel who appeared to the shepherds after Jesus was born. So listen or follow along as we read. And Jessica, you're going to have to help me out here, I think. There we go. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, I want to look at three things found in verse 10 that the angel tells the shepherds and the angel tells each of us. It says, "I bring you," number one, good news. Number two, great joy that will be for, number three, all the people. So looking at this first point the angel makes, good news. Is this good news to you? Maybe you've never had an angel appear to you. How many have had an angel appear to you and tell you things? I don't see anybody this morning, but it happens. But maybe you've never had an angel appear to you with the glory of the Lord shining around it. I don't know what that would be like. I have a feeling that I would be terrified as well. But maybe that hasn't happened, but is it good news to you? Do you still catch some of the awesomeness of this news that is given to each of us? Is it? It's possible that this morning you're looking for maybe some other kind of good news. We have several here who have been ill, and I'm anxious to hear some good news of good health. I know of many with difficult or broken relationships, and I'm looking for good news. I'm looking, I'm listening, I'm watching for good news in those relationships. Maybe you're looking for a job or an apartment. And when we hear of an engagement or a pregnancy, we count it as good and exciting news. For me, just this time of year, simply getting a package in the mail from Amazon is good news. Anybody else? Does that like make your day when the UPS guy shows up? Yeah. So maybe we're looking for other kinds of good news. I don't know where you're at this morning, but this good news really hit me as I was studying it this week. Is the coming of Jesus good news to you? And it really is a crucial question that in actuality determines how we live our lives. How we respond to this, what we think about it, is this truly good news? The coming of Jesus is referenced all throughout the Bible as good news. Not just good news, but the good news. Above all other kinds of good news. And of course, many of you know that the very books that talk about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are referred to as the Gospels, which mean good news. Often it is hard to see the good news of Jesus coming. Life is busy, and often it's hard. And does Jesus coming 2,000 years ago have much bearing on my life today? Some of us have heard this story since we were a child, and maybe we're a little bored with it. And how can this really compare to that Amazon package you get in the mail? I was just reading this week that some lady ordered one iPad, and she got five. They made a mistake, Best Buy. case you want to order an iPad. Well, she felt bad about it, so she contacted people. What should I do about this? And of course, they said, well, go ahead and keep those, which was really cool. I'm sure that was pretty good news to her. But how does the coming of Christ compare to these things that we end up spending a lot of time thinking about and spending time on? How do they compare? Or what about the problems in my life? Now, I've got problems in my life. I'm sure that you have problems in your life. I don't know what they are. They might be health issues. They might be financial issues. They could be relationship problems. All kinds of issues that we face in life. And how does this stack up to those things? And sometimes we feel like saying, God, I need a little good news in these areas. Where's the good news to deal with these problems in my life? Give me some good news, God. Why doesn't God fix those things? Maybe you're just tired and you don't have the energy to get excited about much of anything. And believe me, I get that. I get it. We've all been there. And I would say it'd be really cool if that angel would just appear here this morning and we would just be blown away by this message again of this good news, great joy for all people. It's because our very lives hang in the balance of whether we believe the coming of Jesus is good news. It determines how we view our past. It determines how we view how we live in the present. It determines where we will spend eternity. This is a big deal, what we think about this news of Jesus coming. It's a big deal. It speaks to our motivation, every concern that we have in life, and I've already talked about some of those concerns. It speaks to our purpose and our reason for living. And what was this good news the angel brought to the shepherds? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Do you need a Savior? A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Do you need Him? I know there are other things that we need, and we're scrambling around to get those things, but do we need a Savior? It's a big question. Maybe you've already got your ticket to ride on the J train. I love that song. And maybe you've become complacent. You know, I've punched my ticket, I'm in, and we're just smooth sailing from here on out. And I've heard this a million times before. Good news, cool, let's move on. But do you need a Savior yet? I wonder, do you need a Savior? Do you still need a Savior? Do you understand what it is to have a Savior? Let's remind ourselves of a few things. Without Jesus, we are enemies of God. Think about that. Without Jesus, we're slaves to sin. Without Jesus, we stand condemned for every sin that we have committed, whether we think they're very tiny or large. We stand condemned for each one. We're responsible for them, every single one, without Jesus. And we will pay the penalty for that without Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no hope of eternity in heaven with God. Without Jesus, we are lost. We're lost. You know what it's like to be lost. We need a Savior more than we need anything else in the world. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. He came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to set us free from sin and to make us into a new creation. You get it? Do I get it? Jesus came to pay the entire penalty for my sin. The entire penalty, all of it, past, present, future sin. He paid it all that I might have eternal life. I could go on, but do we really need an angel here to get that? Do we need an angel to understand that? Jesus came to give us a bright and glorious future in heaven with Him. So this coming of Jesus is good news, and we would have to say it is the good news. Well, what naturally goes along with this kind of good news? Well, of course, the second part of this. I bring you good news of great joy. This week, we received news that Doris's dad, some of you know that he had cancer 5 years ago, esophageal cancer. He went back for a checkup. It's been almost 5 years. Went back for a checkup to see how things were going. And he still has some issues to deal with that. He has to have his throat stretched each time because it contracts. It makes it really hard for him to eat. But we found out again, he got a clean bill of health. No cancer anywhere that could be seen. Now you can imagine receiving that kind of news. Now that's good news, isn't it? To hear those kinds of things. When we receive good news, we rejoice. It's a natural response. The good news of an engagement or a pregnancy are times of great joy and excitement. That job promotion, that good grade on the test, making the football team, or getting that new job, or even getting that package in the mail. We rejoice. That's natural, isn't it? It brings joy into our lives. Some of those things bring temporary joy, but joy nonetheless. They bring joy. The one thing that continues to amaze me and even sometimes disturbs me a little is when a football team wins a game. It disturbs me even when it's, especially when it's against Michigan. But it's incredible to me how much joy is expressed over a simple game. I mean, think about it. A simple game, and just think about what's going on. There's guys running around the field, beating up on each other, and when a team comes out as the winner, we are rejoicing. We're excited. Sometimes that can make our day, or even more than that. That continues to amaze me when I think about it. And similar, the anguish of defeat. Whatever you are passionate about can produce either great joy or great anguish. It depends what we're passionate about. What do we believe in? What is that thing that brings great joy? What is the good news that we're excited about? And so I come back to the question, how do these things compare to the coming of Jesus? Does the coming of Jesus bring great joy to you? And this really can't be produced. I mean, you can try and be happy about something, but have you ever tried to do that? It's work for me to be happy for the Buckeyes, you know, to win. My friends who are Buckeyes, I try to do that, but it's work. It doesn't come naturally. So it's difficult, but when it is truly good news to us, we don't have to work at it, do we? We don't have to try and, okay, I'm going to be happy about this. I'm going to be joyful now. No, we don't do that, because when it's good news, we have great joy. The shepherds remind us of what this looks like. After the announcement, they went to check things out. They went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus lying in the manger. And if we look at verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Shepherds, it was easy. They saw this wonderful, amazing thing, and so they went out, praising and glorifying God for these things that had come to pass that they had seen. Do you know that that's what our praise and worship time is about? When we get together on Sundays and that isn't the only time, but that's what that's about, primarily. We have a lot of things to praise and worship God for, but there's nothing really greater than this event. Nothing greater. And so it makes sense that during those times we would express great joy. I'm not going to tell you how you need to do that. We all have our ways. We're different people. But I simply want to ask the question, are you doing that? Does that come natural to you? Are you expressing great joy? And maybe, like I said, you can't really work that up. Maybe it goes back to the question of, is this truly good news to you? Do you understand the good news? What is it that you've seen and heard? Have you received the coming of Jesus with great joy? What is your testimony? What is your testimony about what you have seen and heard about Jesus Christ? Look at the story of Simeon. We find further down in verse 28. This was when on the eighth day Jesus was taken to the temple to be circumcised. It says, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. Great joy. Saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Good news. He gets it, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel, for all people. Simeon understands. He's been waiting for this day, and who knows how many years he'd been waiting. He takes Jesus in his arms and praises God. Simeon gets it while it appears most others in the temple that way did not have any idea that something tremendously significant had happened. Think about the few people that understood when Jesus was born of this good news. Salvation has come just as God promised several thousand years earlier. The light has come into the world. And then there's Anna. If you remember her story, briefly spoken of. In verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. They gave thanks. They praised the Lord. They glorified God. For this was good news of great joy. And finally, for all people. This theme is spoken in Scripture from the time of Abraham, thousands of years earlier, that through him, all peoples on earth would be blessed. If you remember in Genesis chapter 12, and here is the fulfillment of that promise spoken by the angel and reiterated by Simeon. This good news is not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Americans. It's not just for good people. Or it's not just for bad people. It's not just for men or for women or just for adults. This is good news of great joy for all people. It's not just for you, and it's not just for me. As I mentioned some time back, this good news was never intended to just stay with us. You remember the passage we read at the end of each of our classes about the book of Matthew. We read together. I want to give you Mark's rendition of that. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It's for all people. Not just for us in this building here, but for the whole world, this good news. And I'll tell you, there are many people who have not understood yet this good news. They don't know. They maybe have heard the story, but they still don't understand. There's many who have not even heard the story yet. I think of our junior youth group recently. I was excited to sit with a guy in our junior youth group and explain how the Bible is laid out, the books and chapters and verses. He had never, I don't believe, opened one before. It's exciting to see people encountering the good news, especially for the first time, if they have never heard it or seen it or understood it. So once again, we recognize this, that this is not going to happen if it's not good news of great joy. We can work up some witnessing based on guilt or things we talked about even last week, recognition for being righteous or other things, but it would be worthless if that was the motivation. The motivation for sharing is our belief that it really is good news. That's the bottom line. Nobody needs to tell us what to do or how to do it. It's not complicated. It just goes back to the question, is it really good news? Because everything else falls in line if it's really good news to us. We are simply excited and joyful about sharing it with others. You and I can tell what each other is excited about if we know each other pretty well. We know what each other is excited about. In fact, we don't even have to maybe be around each other very long to understand what it is that makes each other excited. I know my son is excited about a new game he's playing called Minecraft, because he's been talking to me about it. And he's been talking to other people about it. And if we have someone over to the house, he's more than likely going to get around to showing them this game and seeing if they might want to play it with him. Now, he's got me interested in it, even though I told him initially I didn't think that it looked like much fun. His genuine enthusiasm started to win me over. And so he started to kind of convert me to playing Minecraft with him. And it is kind of fun. Now, I don't think he even knows he's doing it. I don't think he's really working very hard at this. I don't think his joy is something that he just kind of is trying to work up. And I don't think he's really, like, nervous about talking about it with other people. No, he's excited. To him, it's good news. It's fun. There's something about it that's fun. And so he's passionate about it, and he pulls other people in with that passion and excitement. So what are you excited about? What is it that excites you? And if you can't say, well, ask somebody that's close to you. You know me. What is it that I talk about all the time? What is it that I spend my time doing? What is it that I spend my money on? What is it? Maybe you have to ask somebody else to get an honest look at that. But this is what we're talking about. What are the things that we are most passionate about? Is the coming of Jesus good news of great joy? If it's not, it's simply not something that's going to come up a whole lot in conversation. It's not something that's going to be a primary focus of your life. It's going to be, like a lot of other things, kind of on the exterior. However, the truth is, it is the good news of great joy for all people. They all go together. Now, I'm not saying it isn't hard to share the gospel with others. I'm just saying that that's an outcome, a natural outcome of true belief. It happens naturally if this is really good news to us. There's some challenges with that, definitely, but it is a natural thing that occurs. Let's return to the example of the shepherds in verse 17. In 18, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It really is that simple. Not complicated. I think we make it out to be a little bit more than what it is. And to me, it really just comes back to the fact that we would see Jesus, that we would see him for who he is and all that he has done. And that is really my prayer. Christmas season is a great opportunity to once again see Jesus for who he is. That might overwhelm us, that might drive the rest of our lives, how we live it, how we think about life. One way that we actually see Jesus is to watch an unbeliever, as I said before, to see him for the first time. We need those kinds of experiences. I met with Cleet this week, and he had gotten back from his trip to Peru with Johnny and friends. And it was cool to talk with him because Cleet was just kind of bubbling over with excitement about people who had come to the Lord in Peru through Johnny and friends and through the ministry of wheelchairs. I mean, I didn't have to like prompt him or anything. I didn't have to like pry it out of him. No, he was just telling me what he was excited about. And I'll tell you, there are a few other things that I have been more excited about in life than to see that happen in a person's life. And to know that in some small way I got to be a part of that, of God's great plan, his love for people. We need those things. We need those experiences. I mentioned already some of those experiences in junior youth that have excited me, and you have those as well. I'd love to hear your stories of how you've seen Jesus at work, this good news coming to life, and the great joy that comes from that. All of us need to be in those amazing moments when people become saved. Talk about something to rejoice about. How can it get any better than that? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It's an amazing time. You and I get to be like the angel, bringing good news of great joy to all people. Salvation, hope, redemption, freedom. You and I get to do this. And that's my vision for our church, that this was what we would be about. Spreading the good news of great joy to all people. And how are we going to do that this coming year? I'd like to dream of some new ways to do that. And I'd like to do some of that with you together as we spread this good news of great joy. I was inspired recently by the creativity of some believers who found a simple way to do this during the Christmas season. I want to show it to you now.
Thank you. Let's finish that song with them. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, nigh divine, oh, nigh, when Christ was born, oh, Father, we thank you for this good news. It was truly a holy night, a divine night. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us once again. Those places that need to be renewed and revived in our lives, understanding how great this news truly is. Lord, that it might impact our lives in so many ways, that we might live it even in the midst of difficulty and chaos and trouble, that we could have great joy because of this good news. And Lord, we ask that you would use each and every one of us here. We ask that you would use our church, London Christian Fellowship, that you would use us to proclaim this good news to the world. May we take each opportunity that you bring our way, whether it be big or small. May we truly proclaim and give praise and honor and glory to you for what you have done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have ideas about how we can, as a church, I'd like to see us in new ways proclaim this good news together. I was thinking, just as I was preparing, of maybe once a month doing something just different that we haven't done before together, in some way to proclaim the good news. I'd love to be a part of something like this sometime. That would just be a blast. But whatever it is, we are very creative people. God has made us that way. There are many ways for us to communicate the good news to people. Last year, Liz and Preston's small group organized a Christmas cookie giveaway to our neighbors surrounding the church here. I'd like to do that again this year. So if you're interested in helping with that, we would need to do it within the next couple weeks, find an evening or something that would work for everybody. Just bring our cookies together and go hand them out to people around the church here. Just as a way of communicating our love to them, the love of Christ for them. So if you have ideas for January, February, March, whatever, I'd love to hear what your ideas are of how maybe our new ways that we can do this as a church together. Thanks for your time this morning.